Hey guys, welcome to the Martial and Healing Arts channel. I'm Rafe Kelly, founder of Evolve Move Play. I'm extremely excited to be sponsoring this channel. Martial and Healing Arts have been key aspects of embodiment and self-cultivation for thousands of years. I have some of my best friends in the industry, Rory Miller, Matt Thornton, Edward Hines, presenting here, and I'm really excited to share what they have to say with you guys. You're gonna love it. So Evolve Move Play is an ecology of practices of movement, mindfulness, nature connection, and community. And within the movement, we have a big emphasis on moving in nature and being able to do parkour. We also like to lift weights and throw things around, but there's a huge aspect of martial arts, and I've been training martial arts since I was 6 years old. So it's really exciting to be able to sponsor this channel in particular. If you're interested in my work, check out my talks on the Main Stage and the Movement Anatomy channel. If you can't get to either of those live, you can check us out at Rafe Kelly on Instagram, get all your awesome embodiment giveaways, and for now, just enjoy this amazing channel. It's gonna be an awesome show.
Welcome. We have with us tonight Mallory Graham. She is a Aikido sensei and chief instructor of Seattle Aikikai, as well as an independent filmmaker and media instructor, and a yogi for the last few years. And she is going to present to us tonight the Yoga Dojo. And the stage is all yours.
All right. Well, thank you for that introduction, Tom. As we are getting started, I would love to just have folks chime in on the chat on if you're coming to this session primarily as an Aikido person, so being an Aikido or martial arts badass, or if you actually have already done more yoga, so you are a yoga badass. Or if you have no idea and you've never done either and you just happen to find yourself here, maybe you are just a badass of life. So go ahead and just chime in there, where you're from and where you fit in your badassery. That would be great. A little bit about me and the kind of how I put this class together to begin with. I'm going to talk for about 10 minutes or so, 10, 15 minutes, and then we are going to move into some actual movement. So yoga poses and specifically how I relate them to an Aikido martial arts practice. And then we will finish up with a little bit of time for Q&A as well too. As Tom said, I have this dual practice of both yoga and Aikido. I really am primarily a martial artist, so about 33 years in Aikido and only about 20 in yoga. But it has been a pleasure in my life to finally put those two things together. And now I can't separate them because I just think they make so much sense together. But I have to say, I have to fully admit that when I first took my very first yoga class, this was before I started Aikido. I was, you know, young in my 20s in college, and I was completely bored out of my mind. I was just not into yoga. And I then walked into a dojo and found Aikido and completely fell in love. It was very athletic. It's what I was looking for at that time. And just threw myself into, you know, the last 33 years of practice. And it wasn't until much later, you know, in my life and specifically injury that brought me to developing a yoga practice. And so I think that I didn't realize it at the time, but I learned so much from that injury, because I think when we do Aikido, there is a tendency, or any martial art really, a tendency to just focus on that martial art and not necessarily on how our body mechanics work to support us in the most efficient way. So my admission to everyone is that I think for my first 10 years of doing Aikido, I completely just used my body as a tool to get myself to the dojo because it was just so much fun. But I didn't really know, like when we were doing Aikido warm-ups, I didn't really know what I was warming up. I barely knew like what my hamstring was. So I think I ended up doing Aikido for many, many years without really actually embodying it or knowing my own body. And again, it wasn't then until getting a little bit older and getting injuries that I didn't immediately heal from that led me back to the yoga practice. And there is this wonderful saying that, you know, Aikido is a moving meditation while someone's trying to attack you, right? And in yoga, we have warrior poses. So trying to figure out what these two things have in common, I just think is a fascinating practice. Because if we are just looking at a lifetime in martial arts, there's something that's missing, I think, if you have not spent the time to really do your own self-inquiry in a way that you are allowed to do that kind of inquiry in yoga. You know, we are immediately under attack when we get into doing a technique in a martial art. But if we had the benefit of getting into a stance or a pose, as they call it in yoga, and really checking our anatomy and then bringing that into when we are actually under attack, under duress with someone, that there is this magic that happens between the two. So that said, I also wanted to just start this session out with saying that I have a pretty unconventional career in teaching yoga. I have never taught yoga actually in a yoga studio, and I'm almost always teaching yoga to people who hate yoga. So I have taught yoga at my own dojo, as well as in juvenile detention to teenage boys. And generally neither of those populations wanted to be doing yoga. But I find that I think it's really, really interesting because who needs yoga, right? And who needs martial art? We're almost in a inverse-reverse setup, because oftentimes in martial arts, there are very, very few women, like under 15%. But who actually needs the embodiment of a little bit of self-defense in martial arts? Women could really use it, right? And then when it comes to yoga, which is very much about, you know, adding some body flexibility and just softening, you have yoga studios filled with women when really men actually need it. So there's this weird kind of, I think, an inverse relationship between who's attracted to these two things, yoga or martial arts, and who really needs them. So I think that's kind of fascinating. And then teaching yoga in a juvenile detention facility, again, like these kids didn't want to be there, right? They actually had to. They were kind of a captive audience, was great for me. But I often joke that I am totally going to yoga hell because I had to make yoga accessible, right, to in juvenile detention. And so I actually started every single class with a Bruce Lee quote. And then I turned yoga into a competition. So we were doing, you know, chaturanga, which is like the yoga push-up, right? And then I would have them compete with each other to see who could do more sun salutations. So I'm definitely going to yoga hell. But I do feel like oftentimes yoga can be taken too seriously and people are turned off by that, especially if they're coming from a martial arts perspective. And I also found teaching yoga in my dojo that I realized that mostly men don't go to yoga because they don't know what to wear. Right? I know that sounds really funny, but to the liberation of being able to do like yoga with your gi pants on is huge. So that's kind of my preamble into this. And I do think when I get to kind of my title and, what happens in Yoga Fight Club stays in Yoga Fight Club, this idea that I want to pull from both Aikido and yoga, because I think each one of them holds a key to something that the other might be missing, right? So there is something about when you walk into a dojo, and many of us are attracted to the martial arts because there is the sense that you walk into a space that's different, that you are expecting something that might have been missing in your life. that there is all of this etiquette of how you walk in, taking off your shoes, how you bow, the very formal relationship with a teacher, the hierarchy that happens, the discipline that happens. And dojos are these incredible, boiler rooms for teachers and students having a very complex relationship, really trying to break down the ego of someone to learn a new skill and to have that incredible intention of polishing ourselves, working on ourselves in a pressure cooker setting. And I walk into a yoga studio sometimes and I feel like people are there as if it were just kind of a gym. They're walking in really casually. They're barely paying attention as they roll out their mat. They've come because they've gotten a Groupon special. They're not taking a student teacher, relationship seriously. And obviously I'm being total generalizing here, but when I think about, making yoga a little bit more badass, I really feel that yoga could draw a little bit more from the martial arts of how we come to the art, even just to begin with, how we walk into the space, how we bow, how, everything is in its place. And that could be a real benefit to yoga. And then in the reverse way, in martial arts or Aikido, I would say we've got the physical space down of like how you walk into a space and that etiquette and student teacher relationship. But when it comes to our relationship with ourselves, right, and our own sense of our own self inquiry, we oftentimes really fall short. I think you can do yoga for years and years, and again, in the way that I did, not really have an understanding of your body mechanics on one side, and then also not own it and make it your own in a way that a yoga practice, you really do make a yoga practice your own, because there's also no competition. And it is all about, like, you don't have to have a sense of, comparing yourself to anyone else in a yoga pose. And it's funny in Aikido, because we say that there's no competition, but there is a ton of competition in Aikido. We are constantly comparing ourselves, because there's this idea too of what is good Aikido. Oh, my Aikido isn't good enough yet. I have to study with all these teachers. And you would never hear that in yoga. Like, your yoga from day one is good enough. And it's not about comparing yourself to anyone or striving for something. And I think that the evolution that I have had in my Aikido, when I have gotten to the place, and again, this has taken years, and it's not like I'm like suddenly I figured it all out, but there is such a sense in Aikido of comparing ourselves and what is good Aikido, as opposed to just owning, your own practice, that I think we can really pull from yoga a little bit more. So there's also this is a mini, mini history lesson, because people might not know this, but there is a natural relationship between Aikido and yoga that exists historically. O-sensei, the founder of Aikido, was actually peers with another sensei in Japan by the name of Tempu Nakamura sensei. And if you haven't heard of him, if you're just coming at this from an Aikido martial arts perspective, he was a fascinating man. He was a martial artist in Japan in the early part of the 1900s. And he is known as basically the person who brought yoga to Japan. Specifically, he had tuberculosis, and he was looking for modalities of helping him basically cure himself, which he did. And he ended up spending 2 to 3 years outside of Japan, in India and Nepal, and that's where he learned yoga, brings it back to Japan, in the 1940s, and is a peer with O-sensei, and they know of each other, and they have admiration for each other. And specifically, at Hombu Dojo, the person who really gravitated towards this Japanese yoga thing was Koichi Tohei. And the name of Japanese yoga, what they called it, was Shinshin Totsudo, Which is basically what Ki Society drew from. So Koichi Tohei, who started Ki Society, was heavily influenced by this man who brought Japanese yoga back to Japan. And so when we look at the warm-ups that we have developed in Aikido, they actually come from Japanese yoga, many of them. A lot of the practices that we do for breathing, the unbendable arm exercise actually came from Nakamura Sensei and Japanese yoga. The tapping that we do, again, came from Japanese yoga. So there's a natural history of these two things blending. And I think now too, especially during the pandemic, as we are all stuck at home and figuring out how to do virtual, the Aikido warm-up is so good. And it already does incorporate, some yoga as well too. So again, it's not like I'm the first person who's ever put like Aikido and yoga together. There really is a historical precedent for it. So with that, I want to actually move us into some moving things. And we're going to start off with the breath. So there's a great quote, and this is a martial arts quote, that the martial artist who has learned how to control their breath has cultivated the power of 10,000 tigers, right? So the martial artist who knows how to use their breath effectively has the power of 10,000 tigers. And it's interesting because we know that breath is important in the martial arts, but we're not necessarily given any instruction in it. As opposed to yoga, where we're actually given a lot of instruction in breath. And in fact, during a 60-minute yoga class, you're cued constantly on when you should be breathing. But we don't do that in a normal Aikido class. And I've actually started to do it more in my teaching because the cue for reminding people to breathe when they are actively doing a martial art, I think is really, really beneficial. So let's start by actually getting into our bodies with a little bit of breath. So we'll start with recognizing the breath, and then I'm gonna move it into some of the Aikido warm-ups with actually moving the breath. So just making sure that you're sitting in a comfortable position, you've got sit bones that are really grounded somewhere. And just take a moment of just letting those shoulders drop down, closing the mouth. So we're just gonna breathe through the nose, right? You're just noticing the breath coming in, breath going out. And the first thing to notice, right, is as you notice that breath coming in through the nostrils, the breath is cold when it comes in. And then when you breathe out, you're breathing out warm breath. And we go through our days without noticing that. But that to me is my first wake up into the breath. So cold breath in, warm breath out. And then feeling the breath in the body. So one hand on the chest, one hand on the belly. And this is where we want to start to move the breath. So noticing the breath first pushing out the hand on your belly and then letting it move up into the chest, expanding the chest. And then letting that breath slowly move down. So letting the chest deflate and then back into the belly. So feeling that really that two-part breath of belly breath, chest breath, and then reversing as it comes down. And then letting your hands drop. And oftentimes, especially as martial artists, we focus on everything in front of us, right? The threat from in front. I want you to take that same feeling of breath that you had in the front of your body and just now visualize it and feel it going up your spine on the backside. So feeling that breath push out your back, right? Feeling that back part of your body expand. And now we want to add some dimensionality to the breath. So you're going to take your hands and put them around your ribs, right? And now instead of the breath just being up and down, right, I want you to feel that breath expanding out to the sides. So really feeling your ribs flare out on either side, right? So that nice expansive breath. Yeah, beautiful. Good. Nice. And now let's move it into actually our bodies mimicking, right, what we're doing with the breath. And this is something that we do a lot in the Aikido warmups. And you're cued in yoga to watch your breath, but your breath doesn't necessarily always synchronize with your movement. So if you can get yourself out of a chair, or you can stay sitting if you need to. But as we move into a more embodied breath, letting yourself just take a nice stance, your feet are a little bit more than hip width apart, but not quite horse width, right? Nice, slow, easy bend in the knees. Just root those feet down. Notice where your pelvis is in space, if it's tilting one way or the other. And then using your hands, we want to use the hands as we add movement to our breath to breathe in, bringing the hands up, and then breathe out, letting the whole body drop down. So this hand motion, it's almost as if it's mimicking the diaphragm. And again, this is a soft breath. Your mouth is closed, breathing in through the nose and out. And this could be considered in Aikido, right? This is a grounding breath, right? But it also is about to turn into heaven and earth breath, that feeling of having our feet grounded, right? At the same time that we have this nobility as the head reaches up. And then we'll add the heaven and earth hands. So the hands come in as we breathe in and then split. So one hand going to heaven, the other hand going to earth. And then they meet again. So again, letting movement, right, and breath be synchronized, heaven and earth breath. And there should be this really nice feeling of your hands as if they were pushing molasses, right? Really feeling that viscous feeling in the air. And one last time, making sure that you've been even on both sides, heaven and earth breath. Nice. And then from here, again, that dimensionality, breathing out to the sides, really feeling that in the ribs, opening up, letting your breath expand out, filling the room. You may want to let the breath come out of the mouth as well, making this nice big breath. So breathing in through the nose, exhale out through the mouth. Nice expansive breath. And then finally, a traditional Aikido moving of the breath is letting the arms reach up, breathing in, pulling the breath down as if you're pulling the breath from heaven, and then exhaling, everything comes back to center, right? So inhaling, really letting the hands float up, pulling the breath down, exhaling out. Again, inhaling up. Pulling the breath down, really feeling the shoulder blades in your back come together here, and then exhaling out. One last time, inhale up, pull the breath, exhale out. Nice. It's amazing, just a little bit of breath work, breath movement. I suddenly feel completely different than where we were a minute ago. So again, that nice feeling of moving with your breath, which is something that we often incorporate into our martial arts warmups, that is also a natural part of yoga all the time. So I'm gonna now move us into three yoga poses that I think are really very specific and helpful for martial artists. So the first one is gonna bring us down onto the mat and it's probably considered one of the easiest yoga poses that we do. And it's child's pose, or what's also called prayer pose. And it's often considered to be just a resting pose as you let your knees come out and you drop your forehead down to the ground, letting your hands reach out in front. And it ends up really just being a resting pose. But I think this pose is actually critical for us as martial artists. And I'll tell you why. The position of sitting in seiza, right, is something where we are constantly in seiza, and then we have to get out of seiza. And when we are in seiza, or if we're doing seated techniques, you really need to have developed a lot of the flexibility in our hips, right, in our quads, as well as being able to put weight on the tops of our feet and shins. And so the practice of actually really paying attention in the yoga pose of child's pose will absolutely help us as we bring that awareness to sitting in seiza and the seiza part of oftentimes how we will like do kokudosa or finish a pin. So again, developing that flexibility is super important. But from here, what I want everyone to practice is how we get into child's pose, because it actually is mimicking the Aikido bow, right? So we've all, learned that our etiquette for how we bow is important, but oftentimes people don't put their anatomy behind that, maybe even without noticing it. They may round their back as they come into a bow, right? Or maybe they break at the neckline and let the head drop down, right? So coming into this proper pose and really paying attention to our alignment here can be super, super helpful. So just start by putting your hands on your hips, right at that hinge of the hip socket. And again, just noticing where your pelvis is and thinking about from your tailbone to the top of your head, almost as if, and this is where I also love using yoga language for Aikidoists, because in yoga, people have really learned how to talk about like analogies in movement that I find super helpful. So if you think about your head being a balloon and then your spine being a string down the balloon, this idea that you want that lift for your head, but you want that straight line of your spine, is super, super helpful when you think about sitting in seiza, right? So that nice lift, that axis, right? Which is so core to everything we do in the martial arts. So the axis of our spine rising. And then from here, instead of just flopping ourselves down, think about throwing your head forward, almost like a bokan cut. So you're gonna throw your head forward, and again, hands are on the hips. You're gonna tilt right at the hinge of the hips, right? So tilting at the hinge of the hips as you come down, and you can either just come down and practice this as a bow, or if you'd like to fully surrender, just coming into child's pose, letting that forehead hit down. And in that pose, let yourself stay there for a minute. You should feel the development of letting the tops of the shins and the tops of the feet, right, are gaining flexibility. The quads are gaining flexibility, and the hips are getting this nice feeling of that rotation. And this is where you also are trying to push your hips down towards your heels, right? So from here, you can even use your hands to push into the ground so that you're pushing your hips farther down. And this is where this becomes really important in Aikido, because you don't ever want to basically be doing a bow with your hips rising up and your head dropping down, right? So the cultivation of this lower body feeling, of really keeping that connection, never letting your hips come off your heels, right? So the development of this is so critical for, again, think kokudosa, right? If we do kokudosa and we have come up off of our heels, and we're up here, right? We have lost our balance. We've lost our center, right? So this idea of being able to keep that nice connection, or maybe we're coming into a pin, right? And instead of our hips, again, being off our heels, we stay low and grounded and down. And you just have to develop that by more time, right? With this hinge happening and your hips pushing down. So child's pose is a fantastic pose for Aikidoists, and it will absolutely serve all of your your groundwork, and specifically thinking like how you bow, Kokyo Dosa, pins on the ground. So child's pose. Number two is to me a super fun yoga technique or yoga pose that directly relates to Aikido Ukemi. Okay. And so we find ourselves naturally in Aikido, putting ourselves into a position that looks exactly like yoga. And we're going to start off by doing this just on our knees, although the yoga pose really is from standing. But this should look familiar to Aikido people, right? So in Aikido, we oftentimes find ourselves in this position where we are taking Ukemi for Ikkyo, or maybe we have just taken an Uriminage Ukemi. But there's a tendency, if we haven't really looked at this posture very much, that we have not used our core to engage and stabilize our back, and that we have basically compromised ourselves. So there's this tendency where if I'm taking Ukemi and I collapse, right, I'm not developing Ukemi where I have created a body that is flexible enough to move in any direction at any time. And to me, that is the key of good Ukemi, or learning how to fall in Aikido, being able to take a fall and be flexible to move in any direction at any time. So yoga is really going to help us with that, because if we get into this half moon pose and we hang out here and we actually really spend some time focusing on what's going on, it's going to help us to remember when we are, again, just in the moment of coming into that half moon pose for just an instant in our Ukemi, we'll remember all of the anatomy that we did when we did it solo and for a longer period of time. So some important things to get into as I come into this half moon pose, right, is if you're on one knee and you're taking that one leg and kicking it behind you, really think about lengthening the leg and kicking the heel out. And then put your hand on your hip. And we have a tendency to close our hip towards the ground, right? Which then closes the upper body down and makes me collapse, as opposed to having a body that's ready and available to maybe come back up again, right? So the first thing you wanna check is closed hip versus open hip. So close that hip down towards the floor and then open the hip up. And the minute you open the hip up, you've entirely opened and elongated, right? Your axis, your core, you've opened up that shoulder, right? So from here, this is half moon pose in yoga on your knee, right? And you are really using some incredible core muscles to pull everything in. So your belly button pulled towards your back and that hip opening up, right? Okay, so if we've been on this side for a while, let's have everyone switch. Come on over to the other side again, kicking that heel out and just go back and forth a little bit. Close the hip, open the hip, close the hip, open the hip. Right. Then you can reach the hand out as well to get that feeling. You may, if it's a lot of pressure on your wrist, right? And we do this in Aikido, we end up coming fully down and supporting ourselves right on the forearm. So you can end up there as well too. And just noticing how much core strength it takes to keep that hip open, right? So the more you can do that pose solo, right? And really feel what's going on in your body, the more you'll be able to then pull that in so that when you're taking Ukemi, you'll naturally start to engage those things and be like, oh, right, remember, open the hip, kick the foot out, as opposed to naturally kind of collapsing everything down. So the other part of that practice is doing half moon pose standing. So this ends up turning it into more of a balance pose as well. So you are shifting the weight forward again, kicking out that heel, touching the ground, opening up. And again, there's the closed hip and the open hip, right? And so this ends up being the Ukemi that we take for a Uriminage a lot, right? So from here, whoops, losing your balance. From here, opening up, thinking that you're about to be thrown in a Uriminage, and then bringing your balance back up. And try both sides. Again, shifting your weight forward, kicking that foot out, opening up the hip. And actually, this is a great practice, really good for both your yoga and your Aikido, of seeing how controlled you can be, right? Not very today for me, tapping and then coming out, and how much core strength it takes to be able to go back and forth easily between those two modes. Okay, so we've done child's pose, we've done half moon pose, and of course we have to do a warrior pose. So the warrior pose in Aikido it really mimics our normal hamni or stance, right? So we know as martial artists, you don't ever want your feet on the same line, right? So you're gonna take the stance where your back foot is just slightly off the line, right? And front toes are facing directly forward, back toes a little bit at a more 90 degree angle. And again, this is a hamni stance we find ourselves in, you know, in the martial arts all the time. I'm receptive, ready to move in any direction. But if I haven't actually paid attention to my anatomy and my axis during this, I've already given myself a disadvantage of not actually having my body be in a receptive place to begin with. It's not off balance. So this is where the yoga and really pulling apart this pose to begin with is super, super helpful. So you want to start with the feet and move up, right? So this idea of all different parts of your feet, so where you can start to engage with the edges of your feet, maybe rolling your feet from one side to the other, to the pronate and to the outside, so that you really feel where your feet are in connection with the ground. You want that sense of feeling that pocket of air in your foot arch so that you get a rebounding feeling. You want that feeling of the ground pushing up through your feet, right? So noticing that connection with your feet on the mat, right? And then shifting that weight into that front knee, making sure the knee has not gone over the toes, right? You want to still be able to see your toes. This is a hugely important thing for Aikidoists, and we often find ourselves in really bad form with that knee going over the toes without even realizing it. But this ends up leading to a lot of meniscus tears. So again, go back to your yoga, find the right correct pose where you're not letting that knee go over. You also want to focus on your back heel, really pushing strongly into the ground. And that back leg is straight. And again, we, in this hamni pose, we often just focus on what's in front of us, right? A threat coming from the front. But in yoga, you get to feel the whole dimensionality. So you want to think about the energy of the backside of your body too. So from the back of your heel all the way along the back of your body up through the top of your head. So really engage and feel the back of your body as well as the front of the body. This is also where you want to do some isometric work. So have that idea of maybe the front foot is rotating slightly out and the back leg as well, so that you're creating a little bit of tension. And it's almost as if you would be taking the floor and you pull it apart with both your feet as they are both rotating out a little bit, right? So we get that nice engaged feeling with our lower body. The hips, right, are, again, you want to see where your pelvic bucket is. So if I thought about my pelvis being a bucket of water, am I tilting the water out too much, right? Or am I tucking it too much? So get that nice pelvic bucket upright and aligned. And then the hips, I have a choice of opening up the hips, right? Or again, having the hips be forward. And when we come into our warrior stance, it's primarily hips forward with a slight opening. And we know as martial artists that this opening and closing of the hips is what ends up being what drives our power as we move. But you want to see and be aware of where your hips are before you start a technique, right? This is why, again, if you spend a lot of solo time pulling all of this apart, Then the minute you basically offer a hand and a hominy, you're already feeling all of those things naturally happening that you've checked from your feet, moving up through the hips, right? And then coming into the shoulders, right? This is where, again, when we offer our hands in martial arts, we're not, we can often just like arbitrarily offer a hand without thinking about the fact that our shoulders don't start here. Our shoulders start all the way down our back. Right. So when I'm offering a hand, I don't want to offer it like this, right? I want to let my shoulder blades drop down my back and then offer with the shoulder blades dropping down as opposed to overextending, right? So paying attention, right, to the shoulder blades in your back coming together, which is what happens when you bring the hands up when we do warrior pose in yoga. So getting into our full yoga warrior pose, letting those pinkies, right, rotate slightly in. You want your elbows by your ears, right, reaching up to the sky. Again, checking to see that your weight in that front knee isn't going over your toes, right? And you're also feeling that nice rotation of the legs, noticing where your hips are in space, arms reaching straight up. And again, you're just, you're imprinting this feeling on your body so that when you then come into a hominy stance, you may, if your yoga stance is a little bit wider, you're gonna bring it in a little bit closer for your martial arts stance. But you wanna have all of that engagement that you had in the yoga pose already naturally 100% be there, right? And you don't even have to think about it because you've done the time of self-inquiry. So I'm gonna add on to this, warrior pose with one of my favorite little exercises that is for basically adding a little bit more badass to your yoga. And it's just a beautiful additional thing to do with your arms. So if we basically open up into warrior two, right, we're opening up the chest, but I want you to, I'll turn this way, get the feeling that this backhand is like pulling an arrow, right, from your sheath, and you are doing archery. You're going to bring that arrow forward and you're going to pull it back. You can really feel the tension as you've pulled it back. Your gaze is looking over those front fingers. You know where you are aiming. You've got all this tension. You can feel it in your lower body. Your feet are engaged as well too. And then you release that arrow and let it go. And then you're going to draw another arrow. You're going to bring it over the head. Feel those hips turn. Engage the arrow, pull it back, feel that tension, get your sight line, your intention, where that arrow is gonna go, release. Again, arrow comes forward, really using your gaze and that sense of intention. And maybe to finish out our session, if you wanna take some intention, something that you are wanting to really add a little bit more badassness to in your life. Like, what is it, something that you want? And it could be as easy as having a nice conversation with your partner to finish out the day. Or it could be a huge big goal or a project, but really set your sight on whatever it is, that thing that you want, draw back, hold that tension, release. Again, arrow comes in, pull it back. Have that great intention, focus on the horizon, let it go. A couple more on the other side, because you want, you know, your intentions to be balanced. So maybe come up with something new this time. Again, so you're rooting with the feet, arms are coming straight up, opening up warrior two, grab that arrow, put it in your bow, feel that tension as you pull it back, sightline it. Release. And to me, this is a practice I could do all day long. I just feel like it is such a nice lower body practice, but the feeling of intention and the releasing of the arrow is just a lovely way to kind of, in my mind, combining kind of this martial awareness and effectiveness with the self-inquiry, you know, in a yoga pose. And I'm just going to be quiet for a minute and just let you pull that bow, find out, feel that intention, gaze looking out at the horizon,
Let it go. One last one.
Hey, so we have done a breathing practice from both a yoga perspective and Aikido warm-up perspective. We moved into child's pose, really developing hip flexibility from sitting in seiza, that is really excellent for our groundwork and developing that. We then moved into half moon pose, which is also ikkyo kami or irimi nage kami, and that feeling of just opening up the hip, really engaging our cores, and then pulling it all together into our warrior pose, and how that relates to kind of hamni and intention. So that's just a little tidbit of how I have found this nice bridging of yoga and Aikido. And I definitely wanted to make sure we had a little bit of time to open it up if folks have any questions, or I'd be really curious to hear from you what out of all of those really made sense for either pulling in to your yoga practice, like, or I'm sorry, your Aikido practice, like, oh, I've never even heard about that, or the other way around, maybe bringing it more into a yoga practice. So floor is open.
Sam would like to know what's a good yoga pose for overhead flexibility.
What do you mean by overhead flexibility? Can we open up Sam's mic?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I just have a lot of trouble to get my elbows near my ears because of shoulder injuries and other things. So it's really my pecs and my rotator cuffs. What is good to maintain that?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting too, because I think for Aikidoists, we often think that we have to be doing these active stretches to really develop our flexibility. And specifically for opening up the pecs, I'm going to give you a pose that is considered a restorative pose, because oftentimes we don't realize this, but we are actually creating more flexibility for ourselves when we can actually relax and let the muscles relax as opposed to lengthening or actively stretching them. So Sam, this is going to be your technique. If you have either a pillow or a block, let me see. It's one of the best things that you can do for pecs is totally chilling out, relaxing on the ground, and putting that yoga block. This is the joke that I've always heard, where someone said, women in the group, put the yoga block right at your bra line, and men in the group, you know where that is too. So putting that right at that spot behind your back. And then from here, you're just completely gonna let the chest open up and the pecs open up as you surrender. And again, you should probably stay here for about like 10 minutes. It creates this amazing opening and lengthening. And I've definitely self done a ton of physical therapy for torn rotator cuffs, never did the surgery. And I have to say that that exercise is probably one of the best things that I could recommend. So yeah, your job is to relax more.
We have any more questions from anybody?
Or just throw it out there. Out of those three techniques, or breath being the fourth, what was the most applicable, useful to you? I'm curious.
I know for me, it was probably child's pose, but I'm not sure I got the best out of it because I'm in blue jeans. Because even though I put up the description for this, I did not dress for it properly.
And Yeah, what about the child's pose was useful?
The whole tying into to a good proper bow. I've never even thought of it that way. It never even clicked in my head.
Yeah, you know, one of my favorite stories is a teacher who at one point said that, you know, people prepare for their, you know, tests in Aikido all the time. You know, you're getting ready for your Shodan test or whatever, and you've spent, you know, years practicing all your techniques. And he said, you know what, from the minute someone bows in, I know whether or not they're going to pass or not. Right? Really paying attention to just letting your entire presence be engaged in that bow, from completely understanding your anatomy to also then having it be an embodiment of your humility, your intention, your integrity. I think child's pose and the Aikido bow, or bowing in general, is a super strong, powerful part of our practice.
Kevin says the explanation of child's pose was great.
Good. Mm-hmm.
Jacqueline loved the arrow metaphor and focusing with intentionality. And Lauren, like the first breathing technique, raising hands and lowering hands, or hands.
Yeah, you know, in Aikido too, we that heaven and earth feeling, a lot of our techniques, right, are about splitting that energy, but we don't synchronize it with our breath, right? And so this idea of, if you are paying attention and doing the breath work, you know, and splitting that heaven and earth breath, then when we go to do a Tenshinage, right, you have that feeling of the breath embodying the movement as well. Yeah, I really like that, that nice, you know, both directions, and feel, you can feel your breath with you when you do that, right? Yeah.
Sam says half moon pose.
Yeah, it's such a dynamic pose to really, and I have just seen people have their ukemi completely shift and get better the minute they have figured out how to open up that hip, because it's hard to do, and you really do have to actually train yourself and develop that core strength to be able to do it. But it's such a key to creating way more dynamic ukemi, specifically for ikkyo ruminage. The exercise that I give people is to get into that half moon pose, and we go back and forth from side to side, you know, before an Aikido class. The other thing to do with that, Sam, if you want to take it to the next level, is if you do it standing up against a wall, right, then you actually have to get that feeling of your hip actually plastering itself against the wall, and the wall then gives you the information of whether or not you're straight or not, because each part of your body has to hit the wall. And so you'll realize, oh God, I thought I was totally, you know, being lateral and opening up, but really I wasn't at all. So half moon against the wall as a way to completely open up both the shoulder and the hip, and then pulling that into the Aikido practice is great.
And she also would like to know, in your training, did you access the split through uke nage or yoga?
Access the split, the heaven and earth split?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think that the focus of that has definitely come from Aikido, because we have more of a focus on it. But definitely I feel like yoga classes will often focus on the head reaching up and the body, grounding down. So I think there's a lot of a commonality there between the two arts for sure. But my pathway into it was from Aikido first, for sure.
I'm going to squeeze in one more question, because I've actually had a lot of people ask this in the past. Sometimes I feel like you breathe too much or too little. How can you get more comfortable with this?
Interesting. Yeah, I think obviously the quality of your breath is what you want to be focusing on, right? And so that idea of controlling and elongating the breath, and that's where maybe some of the yoga exercises that are actually about lengthening the breath. There's some beautiful exercises where you do a, you know, like a 5 pound part count, you know, of the breath. I love the, again, an imagery of if I were breathing and I was walking up the stairs of a slide, you know, and I have to really elongate and then I'm sliding down as I breathe out. So I would say the depth and length of the breath, as opposed to worrying about if you're breathing too little or too much. You know, in Aikido though too, for sure, when we get out of breath, right? There are the wonderful exercises that we often will do, like, you know, from rowing exercise, and then you draw the breath in and you really shake it at your center. So you're creating vitality and energy. That idea of if you have found yourself out of breath or your breath isn't synced up, to bring the breath and focus it, right? And generate a little bit of vitality and power at your center, again, with your motion coming in and being equivalent to the breath. I don't know if that exactly answers your question, but.
It answered my question.
Oh, good.
Hopefully it answered hers too.
I also do have, I've gone more detail into kind of this pairing of Aikido and yoga in a Aikido University course that I do, which is, there's one more extra pose that I think is really essential for Aikido people. So it's the four essential poses that I think everyone in Aikido should know. So that's out on Aikido University.
Now I got to go check that out just so I can know what the other pose is.
Yeah. Secret. Actually, it's a pose that will help you with Koshinage.
No, I definitely got to know.
Yeah.
It's fun. So thank you for coming and presenting that. It's definitely unique, and I will definitely do this one again in better clothes next time. So let's see. So if you want to review this again, the video will be available for 48 hours. If you want to see it beyond that and all the other great presentations that are happening, all of which you cannot just watch live, unfortunately, you can get the library, and the link is in the description for that, or in the chat for that. And we also have a coffee breakout room so that you can chat, interact, and continue the conversation there if you should choose to. And before we close out, Sensei, what is your top tip for staying embodied?
Close your mouth.
That could be taken so many ways. I really like that one too. So again, thank you for coming. Thank you for a great presentation.
Absolutely. Thank you everyone for participating.
And thank everyone else for coming in.